Peter Welch, let's talk about prescription drugs. I was on a program recently where, you know, somebody said, you know, well, what about the stockholders, you know, because I'm always beating up on them, the greed of the prescription drug companies. And I know that things like Medicare, Medicaid, and, you know, the Congress has refused to let there be haggling over the best possible prices. And yet, very little is being done to bring them in, to bring them to bay, right?
Well, that's true. And, you know, here's the situation with drugs. First of all, drugs do really good things. They extend life, and they relieve suffering. That is good, and we've got to, you know, try to make certain that we maintain the contribution that the pharmaceutical industry can provide to our health and to the relief of pain. But you know what? If you are killing folks with the price, they literally can't afford it, then the good things that you're going to do will fall on their own weight. And what's happened is with prescription drug pricing, the market is broken. It's not as though the price is set on the basis of supply and demand, the way movie theaters might have to compete or where you decide to get a car in one dealer versus another. You basically have a situation where the pharmaceutical industry is able to name the price. And it's really escalated in the past year. You know, healthcare costs had been slowing in the rate of growth. But this past year, prescription drug prices went up on average about 14%. And it adds billions. And that's just the average. But some prescription drugs, like that guy Shkreli, who's now in jail, he bought a company that had a drug, and he raised the price of it by 7,000% the day after he bought it. Now, that had nothing to do with the improved efficacy of that drug. It had nothing to do with increased demand. It had to do with market power, where this predatory guy controlled the drug, had a patent, and he just said to consumers, this is the way it is. We're charging you 7,000% more. That's outrageous. So my view is that we've got to do something to return some sense of proportion to what the prescription drug prices are. And there's a number of things that we can do.
Name them.
Well, number one, you can negotiate. You can let Medicare negotiate bulk price discounts when buying for Medicare beneficiaries.
What makes you think your Republican colleagues, you're not a Republican, you're a Democrat and a progressive Democrat, but what makes you think these people who have refused to do anything about it in the past are going to be brought around?
We're going to have to work on that because there is a big, powerful pharma industry. But I think there's two things. First is the cost is really hammering state budgets. Because, you know, all states have some relationship to Medicare, to Medicaid in particular. It's also really having an impact on employer-sponsored health care plans. So we've got a lot of employers in Vermont and around the country that are trying to provide good health care benefits to their employees, and the premiums are just going up and up and up. That means the copays and deductibles go up and up and up, and a lot of that is attributable to the prescription price increases. Now, whether you're in a red state or a blue state, you're hearing from your employers and your governor saying, hey, we've got to get these prices to level off. So we're all going to get that same pressure, and eventually that, I think, is going to be the basis for some cooperation. The second thing is that what we're talking about, or what I'm talking about, is really trying to address market distortions. And, you know, there's a number of different situations. Should you negotiate bulk price discounts? Well, anybody would say that. Any business, if they're buying 1,000 items, are going to try to get a better per unit price than if they're buying 10.
So how do the Republicans, if anybody can say that, how do the Republicans get away with making sure that doesn't happen?
Well, that's really a head scratcher for me, because I think that's so elemental and so basic. But that's one thing we can do. The other thing is that we've got to get more transparency in the cost of prescription drugs. Right now, there's always an argument by the pharma industry that they can justify their prices because it's very expensive to bring a new drug to the market. And you know what? It is expensive. But on the other hand, how expensive is it? They say it's over $2 billion, but in fact, the taxpayers contribute immensely to the cost of research and development.
Basic research,
taxpayers spend $30 billion at the National Institute of Health on basic research. By the way, I support that, but that's not money that pharma puts in. That's money that you and I and other taxpayers put in. So let's not let the pharma companies take credit for what the taxpayers are doing. The second is, what research money they do spend, they get a research and development tax credit. Again, I support that. I want to see research. But that's taxpayer contribution. That's not pharma contribution. So let's get some clarity about what the real cost is, so that when there's a claim that you can justify a very high charge because the cost is very high, let's find out, all right, what was the cost? Not just what you say it is, what was it really? That's another thing that we can do.
I only got you for another 3 minutes, and I wanted to ask you to sum up the Obama presidency as you see it now and his State of the Union.
Well, his State of the Union, I think, did sum it up. And what I found a couple of things really quite wonderful about his speech. First of all, in summing up his presidency, what he said, rightly, was that he inherited an economy that was in free fall, and we have made enormous progress. When you look at unemployment being cut in half, the debt coming down, establishing a health care system with 18 million more Americans getting coverage. And he also said his regret, and he used that word, was his inability to bring the two sides together for more civil discourse. And he, in quite a humble way, said if he had greater skills like a Lincoln or a Roosevelt, maybe he could have done that. And in fact, that's true. I don't think it's all his fault, but we still have this toxic political discussion that's going on. But the other thing that he did that I found really different is that he gave a reflective speech about where we are in our political life at the moment. And it was really a contrast to the very xenophobic negative and dark presentation from my perspective that you're hearing from the Republican presidential candidates. And he was saying, look, when America has had challenges, it's been successful by facing them, not denying them. That line about, you know, when the Russians beat us to space,
yep,
Sputnik, we didn't deny Sputnik was up there. We made a goal, man on the moon in 8 years, and we did it. And the other thing that he said, that this is all about Vermont to me, because I see it with, like, my Republican and Democratic colleagues here in the state of Vermont. We fight hard. You know, we've got the ongoing debate about the size and scope of government, what's fair and what isn't on taxes, but there's a mutual respect that the folks who disagree with us have the same commitment to the future of this state of Vermont as the people that we agree with. And you have to have that mutual respect. It's the glue that keeps us together. One of my first experiences in politics is when I was a minority Democrat in the state Senate, and the Republican leaders decided to put me on the Finance Committee to give me a chance to be constructive. And that was a display of mutual respect that I maybe hadn't earned yet, but they extended it to me. And it really made an impact on me because it just said, Peter, if you're going to contribute here, you're not just a rabble-rouse. You've got to work with these folks because they clearly are giving me a chance, and we share a goal to make Vermont better. We've got to bring that back to Congress and bring that back to this country.
And we'll leave it there. Our guest has been Congressman Peter Welch. We love talking to him. You know, you're a balanced man, and I think it's one of the highest compliments anybody can give to somebody who practices the art of politics. I know you compromise. I know you do the kinds of things you got to do to move ahead, and I just so appreciate that, Peter.
Well, thank you. I love being on your program.
And thanks for being with us. Appreciate it so much. Good luck.